Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 196 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. It is cracking on. The season is starting to shift. The temperatures are rising here in the UK, but it still feels very autumnal. We've had so much wet weather in the last couple of weeks. It's difficult to get away from the fact that we're so far behind season-wise than we were last year. It'd be really interesting, those of you listening who are in the Facebook group, let me know how your season's going compared to where you were last year. It'd be really interesting to see how we're all looking at it differently, depending on, you know, where we are in the world. I'd love to hear from you on that. Only a tiny bit of housekeeping before we get into today's episode main. And that was the first part, just to say, let me know how your season's going compared to last year. And secondly, I want to say a huge thank you to two new Patreon subscribers. That is Alex Todd and Chillor Ryan. Please forgive me if I'm pronouncing your name incorrectly. It's not a name I've seen before. But thank you so much for signing up to become patrons of the show. I really mean it when I say that you make all the difference to both me and the show itself. You know, it's such a touching gesture when someone feels that there's enough value in the show and the content that I provide to want to support it financially. It makes a huge difference and it genuinely really touches me. So thank you so much, both of you guys. And if you want to be like Alex and Chillar, then please do check out our Patreon, patreon.com/self-sufficient hub. Right, now into the meat of today's episode. Well, today is part three in our self-sufficiency resources series. We've spoken about apps, free apps that you can get for your smartphone. We've spoken about bricks and mortar in real life resources. Well, today we're talking about websites, and there's obviously an absolute plethora of websites out there. And I tend to, how I tend to use the internet for my sort of research, whether I'm doing research for the show, whether I'm doing research for a specific thing, is I don't tend to go to certain websites and start there. And I'm sure most of you are the same. You know, I start by Googling the topic that I'm particularly interested in and, you know, going from there. But what I have found is that there are some websites who, you know, when they show up in the search results, I tend to go to those above the others because they just seem, in my experience, to have proven to be, you know, reliable sources of information and really, really good sources of information. So I'm going to start with the first one here, and it's called Don't Waste the Crumbs. Don't Waste the Crumbs, all one word, .com. And it is absolutely fantastic. Now, this is a website that I quite often find little ideas on if I'm looking for ideas of a way to use up some leftovers, or if I'm looking for meal ideas using some perhaps things that you might not find in the supermarket, then this website is one that's come up a few times. But every time I've found myself in that website for a little while, it is just jam-packed with amazing recipes, meal plans, you know, just ways to save money when you're cooking and, you know, to budget your food shop. And it's just a great, great website. It's really down to earth, but it's also one that can really open your mind and stretch you a little bit in what you might have been thinking about. You know, this is exactly the sort of place you're going to find recipes for all of your leftover vegetable trimmings, for example. And you're going to find really good recipes as well that work and that are amazing. You're going to find cheap ways of making your usual kitchen staples, and you're going to find recipes that only use, you know, real food. So it's just a great website, and I really can't recommend it highly enough. It's got all sorts on there, and, you know, the clue is in the name, don'twastethecrumbs.com. So please do go and check that out. The next one I have is a blogging website. I think it's the only blogging website I've got in my list, but we'll see. And that is homestead.org. And again, it's one I don't tend to find myself going to find things, but it does pop up in my search results sometimes. And again, this is the one website where I suggest you might actually want to spend a bit of time checking it out and just browsing around it, because they've got lots of really interesting articles on homesteading. So on their, just on their front page at the moment, right now, there's articles on selling what you make online. There's articles on making herb beer bread. There's articles on identifying trees. There's articles on building a sunroom using recycled materials. There's things about alpacas, savory stuffed mushroom recipes, all sorts on there. And, you know, they go into, it's basically, it's almost like the Encyclopedia of Country Living that I talk about a great deal by Carla Emery, that book. The sort of topics that they go into is so vast that it's similar to that. And, you know, just as you scroll through the front page, there really is everything on it about seed saving, about creating wells, looking after your well if you've got a well in your garden, raising meat rabbits, finding communities around homesteading. You know, there's so much there, and there's a huge homesteaders free library, you know, with just a vast range of topics, all the things I've said, plus beekeeping, livestock, machinery, nostalgia, poultry, rural reviews, you know, all sorts of things in there. So it's a really good one. If you've got an hour and you're not sure what to do with it, I don't think that's ever happened to me, but if it happens to you, then go to homestead.org and check them out. Now, the next one is a magazine website, but it's, in my opinion, it's the mother of all magazine websites, and that is Mother Earth News. Now, generally, whatever I'm Googling, Mother Earth News will have at least one search result in there, and it really is an all-encompassing website that covers everything sort of homesteading, but also everything permaculture, and, you know, from reducing your energy use, tiny house stories, storm preparation, backyard chickens. It's got everything. Now, it is a magazine website, so it will tend to push you towards their magazine subscription. I personally am not a magazine subscriber. I don't read the magazine, so that's why, but you may find you want to be. But there's so many articles on their website which are available for free. And again, you know, they've got recipes and tips on organic gardening. They've got, at the moment, you know, four of their most read articles at the moment on their front page are winter gardening tips, best winter crops, 10 tasks for your winter garden, natural cold storage, fresh food in winter, and keeping crops cool during hot weather, 13 ways to beat the heat. Now, I think that MotherEarthNews.com is based in the Southern Hemisphere, which is why you might, if you're listening from the UK or from the US, you might think, well, that's a bit upside down. Well, yeah, it is upside down, and that's just fine by me. So, you know, they've still got the stuff on there from 6 months ago, and just like people listening to my podcast from the Antipodes will be thinking, well, I'm not in, you know, spring and summer as we are. And, you know, it's all good. It's all good. We're all on the same team. So, yeah, check out Mother Earth News. It's another one that you can just browse around if you so choose. But it is one that I find when it comes up in my search results, it's probably going to have a decent article on whatever it is I'm looking for. The next one is another magazine website, but it's another, I've purposely avoided lots of magazine websites where it's predominantly just to signpost you towards the magazine. The only two I'm including here, the Mother Earth News that I've just mentioned and this next one, both have a real wealth of information available on their websites, and this one particularly so. And it is backwoodshome.com. It's a little bit like Mother Earth News, but it's like, well, it's like, I've heard it described as like Mother Earth News with guns. So it's a little bit more, you know, if you live in the US and you're into hunting and shooting, then it's probably going to fill that little gap left by Mother Earth News. But it also contains lots of other things. It is quite US centric, but that doesn't mean it's not really, really useful. So again, you know, on the front page, you've got how to build an off-grid root cellar, garage and bunkhouse, preparedness for travellers, the poor man's ultralight dual fuel backpacking stove. And, you know, these are just fantastic little articles that can really draw you in and, but most importantly, give you a great amount of information. There's articles on there, as you would expect for it to have made the list, on, you know, all sorts of things. Again, on the front page at the moment, how to build a composter, how to build your own repeating mousetrap, building a barn, unconventional house buildings, all sorts of things. They've even got what I do, you know, I like the diversity of it. They've got how to build a hybrid go-kart for kids for under $150. So, you know, there's loads on there. There's a slight lean towards survivalism and preparedness, and that doesn't bother me at all. I quite enjoy that. But they've got huge topics on energy and also on firearms. So, like I say, if there was a gap left in your sort of yearning for knowledge left by Mother Earth News in the firearms category, then this is the place to come. And the same I would say for preparedness. But, you know, I think it's another really useful website. There's tips on here, how to become a forager, how to make wildcrafted mead, all sorts of things. You know, I could list everything on the website, but then this podcast would never, ever end. So just go and check it out yourself and see what you think. And that is thebackwoodshome.com. Backwoodshome, all one word, .com. Next up is Eat the Weeds. Now, this is just a great website for encouraging foragers, encouraging you to think about the wild plants and weeds that you've probably got in your lawn as a food item. It's a great, great website. And again, it's one that frequently pops up in the results on my Google searches. Eat the Weeds, all one word, .com. And just the passion for what he does from the guy who writes the blog, whose name escapes me, is just fantastic. But it's more than a blog. You know, there's articles on here on pretty much every single type of edible plant you're likely to find in your garden. It is, again, based in the US, but don't let that put you off wherever you live, please, because there's so many useful things on here. And so many of the edible weeds that are in our gardens are ubiquitous around the world. So it's based, well, another reason I really, really like it is how it's so garden friendly. You know, so much of the stuff on here is talking about plants that you will literally find in your garden. And, you know, the categories that you can go through include flowers, things that are edible raw, how to make flowers and starch, how to make cordage and fibers, cooking methods and materials, beverages, alcohol, mushrooms, oils, medicinal plants, pot herbs and seaweed. And I'm just listing, that's probably one tenth of the headlines listed under his categories section. So please do go and check out eattheweeds.com. You can now support the show directly. Just go to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. You can become a patron and set up to donate to the show from any amount. Pledging as little as $3 a month makes a huge difference. If that's not your thing, you can also support the show by sharing it with people you know or posting about it on social media. We really appreciate all the help that you give us. It's people like you that make this show possible. I just thought it'd be a good time to mention, actually, halfway through this episode, that I received some feedback on Facebook after last Monday's episode, part two, that it would have been helpful to have links to these things in the show notes. Well, I think on today's episode, it's, you know, it's a no-brainer. They have to go in there. So if you do want links to any of these things, I'm going to put them in the show notes. One of the reasons why I didn't do it last week for the apps episode is just because there are so many different places people get apps, the Android store, the iPhone store, iTunes store rather, and I only have an iPhone and I was only able to link certain apps, and I just thought because I'm in the UK as well, it's going to link everyone to the UK iTunes store. The list of links would have just been a little bit unwieldy and a bit too difficult for me to put together as well in terms of my own personal time restraints, but I will try and link to all of these websites in the show notes for this episode. Next up is the RHS website, the Royal Horticultural website, and specifically within that, the Grow Your Own section. Now, the RHS version of Grow Your Own tends to, in my opinion, be more lent towards the sort of the more common type of growing your own that was less or that was more prevalent a few years ago and is, you know, not how I do things. It's not quite the permaculture way of doing things generally. They do mention permaculture, of course, because it's so much in the zeitgeist at the moment, but they tend to lean towards, you know, adding fertilizers and treating things. That's okay. I'm just stating that at the get-go, just so people are aware of it. But it is also a fantastic resource because within the Grow Your Own section, you know, you can look up all the individual plants that you might be growing, and it's going to give you tips on each plant, what they need, what they like, their pests, how to avoid them, you know, timings for sowing and just general plant care, all the things you need to know for anything that you might be growing, you're going to find on the RHS website. Now, this is obviously based in the UK. I'm not sure if you Google it from around the world, if you'll find something tailored slightly more to your location. But it is a UK-based organisation, the Royal Horticultural Society. And their website is rhs.org.uk. And like I say, within their Grow Your Own section, one of the things I like about it, it's got a this month section where it tells you all the things you should be doing this month. Within the separate fruits, vegetables and herbs section, there's an A to Z listing all the different fruits, vegetables and herbs. So you can go to the individual plant you'd like to know about. There's a separate section for allotments and containers, and they do also have a Grow Your Own app, but I just think it's a really useful resource. And if, you know, if there's something I'm specifically looking for about a specific plant, for instance, last year when my parsnips didn't turn out very well, that they had been affected by a nematode that was in the soil, and just by going on the RHS website and looking up the common parsnip problems, I could instantly find the issue that I was having. It's really, really useful for that. So rhs.org.uk, go and check it out. Next up is, I thought there was only one blog, but it turns out there's a couple, and it is thehomesteadsurvival.com. So the website includes the word the this time, thehomesteadsurvival.com. And again, it's a homesteading blog, but it's a really, really good one. It's a really, really thorough one. It's not one, again, that I might find that I go to for specific answers, but it's another one where it might give you some ideas of things that you hadn't tried that you might want to try. So they've got tips for everything homesteading, you know, from how to build a homestead, the actual house itself, and all sorts of building tips and ways of heating your home and things like that. They've got gardening tips, landscaping tips, but they've also got things like, you know, skincare, soap making, husbandry of animals, you know, how to avoid pecking roosters. But what I like about this is it's so practical. It's really, really in depth in a lot of how you manage your actual home, you know, how to deep clean your home in a homestead way, how to you know, avoid your drains getting blocked and things like that, as well as all the other stuff, you know, preserving, vegetable gardening, etc. So it's another blog that I do recommend you might want to check out, thehomesteadsurvival.com. Next up is another magazine website, but again, it's one that has a vast wealth of information on the actual website itself. So as I've mentioned before, there's a few magazine websites that I'm saying today, but none of them are ones where the actual website is just signposting you to the magazine. This one is really, really good in terms of the actual information on their website. So we've got all sorts of things here, again, as you might expect from a hobby farms website. It's hobbyfarms.com. And, you know, they talk about permaculture. They talk about chicken breeds. This is just from their front page at the moment. They've got equipment for all the things you might need around your farm, all the different names for the equipment, toxic plants your chickens might avoid, and a list of 65 favourite chicken names. I'm not sure how useful that is for me, but if you're stuck for a chicken name, there you go. I noticed Julie, who's a regular contributor and one of our patrons, is looking for chicken names right now. So maybe that's one for you to check out, Julie. So, you know, there's so many websites out there, and what I'm trying to do is not limit your choice, but try and make it so that you've got at least a list of ones that you know you can go to and you're going to find really good in-depth articles. So again, from their front page at the moment, to give you an idea, the best and worst trees for firewood, how a successful egg business can make you money, how to start one, 6 duck breeds to raise for eggs, and 5 herbs your chickens will love. Those are some of the top stories at the moment, and it goes on and on and on. There's lots of videos on the website as well, which is great. It's a bit of a blog style video available there, but also in-depth articles in videos, you know, how to make cold hardy crops, plant whole cold hardy crops in the spring, finding water lines before digging. There's all sorts in there. All the usual stuff. I don't need to go on and on and on. I will leave it to you to go and check it out. Next up is a cooking website, and it is thespruceeats.com. Now, I'm certain that you've probably come across this in your Google searches, and it's one that I find myself clicking on more often than most others. The idea is when I put in an idea, so I might have some leftovers that I want to use, and I might type in, you know, broccoli stem recipes or whatever it might be, and when I look at my Google search results, if the Spruce Eats is among them, then I'm going to go there probably first, unless something really catches my eye, because there are so many pitfalls in following online recipes, because we can go and find something and it just doesn't work. Whereas I find when it makes it onto the Spruce Eats website, it's been fairly carefully vetted, and well, at least that's my experience. And when I go to reproduce it, I get a recipe that just works. There's nothing worse than trying a recipe for the first time and, you know, it just doesn't work. It fails. So the Spruce Eats is one of my go-to recipe websites. There's a few others I like as well. The BBC Food website is really good. But the Spruce Eats just deserves a special mention, I think, today, because it's just it also tends to fit with my ethos and what I'm trying to achieve. They quite often use raw materials and stuff like that. On their front page, you can look and explore by region, you can explore by recipe, by ingredients, and there are some separate sort of how-tos on there. So it is worth digging around the actual website in its own right. But when they put recipes on their website, they say that they sort of develop them with the chefs and cooking teachers and food writers create the recipes, and then they send it to the editors to review and add tips, and then they get the photographs, and then finally they test it. Professional testers shop for, cook and taste to make sure the recipes work. And that, I think, is a huge part about why this website works, because so many of the recipes that we see online are just people linking to other recipes or saying, here's a recipe I saw somewhere else, and they haven't even tried them, and they can be big fat failures sometimes. And that for me is not something that I want to waste my time on. I don't have enough time to be cooking bad food. And there we go. The last website today is the Permaculture Association website. So if you type in Permaculture Association into your browser, here in the UK, we get directed to permaculture.org.uk. But I'm certain that they will be based all around the world with websites local to you. And on the front page, it tells you what it does. You know, you're here to learn, you can join and become part of the Permaculture Association, and you can connect and find permaculture happening near you to kind of connect with directly. Permaculture is something I believe passionately in, and the Permaculture Association website is fantastic. There's all sorts of courses you can book onto here, but there's also loads and loads of articles. So if you just look through the website, search on the website, you'll find articles on everything that you could possibly be based or be thinking about around permaculture. But the main purpose of this particular website is to kind of join people together around the permaculture work. So please do check out the permaculture.org.uk website or your regional version wherever you are. That's going to wrap up this episode. Please go and check those out. Like I said, I'll try and put links to all of those in the show notes. And I will look forward to speaking to you next Wednesday. Cheers, guys. See you soon. Bye-bye. If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon.